Not everyone agrees with what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ leaving heaven to be born into this world, but rest assured, disbelief in the heart of the unbeliever does not alter or change the facts and purposes of God. Christ was born into this world to be God's sacrifice for sin. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Then in verse 38, he said, "I came down from heaven." Well, in verse 41, we read that the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." With enmity in their hearts, they discussed what he had said, refusing to believe. They said in verse 42, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Well, in the original, this, as used here, expresses scorn and contempt. It is as though they had said, "Is not this braggart the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" Refusing to accept the truth of the virgin birth, they could not fathom how Jesus Christ could come down from heaven. Now, had he begun his public ministry with a mighty army and great wealth, perhaps they would have recognized him. But coming as he did, a poor peasant with a few fishermen and public servants as followers, his listeners were skeptical. Now, of course, this was all prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 2 and 3. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." In verse 43, Jesus said, "Murmur not among yourselves." How surprised the unbelieving Jews must have been to learn that Jesus knew what they were mumbling about. One would think that this would be enough to convince their hardened hearts that the Lord Jesus was more than a mere man. But you see, unbelief is terrible. It robs needy hearts of possible peace and comfort. Well, next we see in verse 44, the Lord Jesus said, "No man come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, here is an important lesson in soul winning. No man will come to Christ unless the Father draws him. Now, do not misunderstand. God expects us as believers to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But let us never be so wise that we overlook the true source of power and conviction. Our part in personal evangelism is minor compared to God's part. In the drawing power is the quickening power. Every lost soul, according to the Bible, is dead in trespasses and sins. God must give the enlightenment so that the unsaved might appropriate Christ by faith. Those who would be used of God in pointing the lost to Christ must be men and women of prayer, realizing that it is God who draws the unregenerate to Jesus Christ. Now also in verse 44, Jesus said, "And I will raise him up at the last day." Our Lord had said this twice before. Repetition in Scripture always indicates something of extreme value and importance. All true Christians will be raised at the return of Christ. Now, as the Lord had said to his hearers on so many occasions, he reminded them again that what he was saying was not new. It could be found in the Old Testament Scriptures. Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets," he said, "and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Divine truth is made known through divine power. What was true in the Old Testament concerning listening to God is true in the New. Verse 46, "Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father." No one has ever seen God the Father except God the Son. Thus, the Lord Jesus had a perfect right to speak of himself as he which is of God. Verse 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, Jesus said, hath everlasting life, present tense. With these words, the Lord Jesus returned to the main theme of his discourse, which had been interrupted by the murmuring of the Jews. Clearly and distinctly, Christ tells his listeners that he is the only one to whom men and women may go for eternal life. Whoever believes on him becomes the recipient not merely of life, but everlasting life. In verses 48 and 49, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The Jews in Christ's audience had boasted of the manna given to their fathers by God. But this manna did not keep their fathers alive. They were dead. Only Jesus Christ can give eternal life. In verses 50 and 51, we read, This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now there are some who speak of Christ's example in good life. Indeed, he provided an example. No one could find any wrong in his life. But it is not his life that was important. It was his death. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The bread for the soul of man is not found in following the example of Christ. It is experienced in believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. Christ was living his life before those who listened to him give his discourse on the bread of life, but he spoke of something future, the bread that I will give. Later, he did this in offering up himself of his own volition on the cross. For whom? There need be no doubt about it. The world. His sacrifice was made for all who believe. Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How wonderful that this bread of life made possible on the cross of Calvary is for everyone. Yes, it's for you, it's for me, and everyone else. I hope you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you have not, now is the time to come to him. Jesus invites you to come. He says, Whosoever will may come. Doesn't make any difference about your past. The Word of God says, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Everyone. Those out in India, those in China, those in Russia, those in the United States, those in the islands of the Caribbean, those in South America, wherever you may be, Jesus Christ is inviting you to come to him and have everlasting life as your eternal possession. Oh, friend, don't resist this wonderful invitation from the Son of God, who came from heaven, the true bread of life, who gave himself on the cross for you and for me. And you know, someday he's coming back again. He's coming back to claim his bride, and I hope you will meet him in the air when he returns. Jesus is the name above all names. It is the name that saves, and I hope if you've never trusted in him that right now you'll bow your head and say, Jesus, I need to be saved. I've made a mess of my life. I've gone in the wrong direction, but I want to turn in your direction, oh God. And I receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Christ will enter your life and he will never depart. Isn't that wonderful? Wherever you are, you can call on him. He'll be there to answer your prayers. He'll meet all your needs as he has promised in the Word of God. So trust him, dear friend, as he pleads with you to come to him now. Father God, we thank you that while there is life, there is hope. While there is life, the door is open. But after we leave this world, the door is shut. to that unbelieving soul. Have your way, we pray, in many hearts today. May there be decisions for your glory when people will cry out and say, Jesus, come into my life and live through me. I pray this in his holy name and for his glory. Amen.